this Christ the King weekend with the word peace. We have two readings this evening. In the first, the prophet Isaiah prophesies about the coming of the Messiah, who will be the Prince of Peace. This is found in Isaiah 9, verse 6. The prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. In our second reading, the Apostle John records Jesus' words to his disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And now hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will you please pray with me? Gracious Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift and work of your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and help us to understand and to hold closely your word and your promise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So as we mentioned in the reading, this is what's called Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of what we call the church year. Next, believe it or not, well, you can believe it because we have Christmas trees up. It's Advent coming up. And we have, that'll be starting next Sunday, but Christ the King Sunday, we really celebrate Jesus Christ as Lord and King. And we, you know, as we look at him, I'm going to be sharing some scripture. That message in Isaiah, it's beautiful. It is all about the kingship of Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But today I want to focus in on the last word in our Faith Word series, and we're going to be focusing in on the word peace. Now, in the Hebrew, it comes across as shalom. Now, many of you have heard that word. If you haven't, now you have. And the idea with shalom is that it's not like an absence of war. Sometimes we think of peace or shalom as simply being the absence of conflict. But shalom and peace have really much more, it's much more focused on the idea that we have something from God that sustains us through whatever conflicts. It doesn't mean that the conflicts are gone. It means that while we're in the midst of the conflicts, while we're in the midst of the trouble, we have something. And that's what our texts are all about today. And there's really three points I want to pull out and invite you to really listen to as we walk through. And the first is that peace is a gift. It is absolutely a gift. And who do you suppose it's from? It's from God. That's the second point. So peace is a gift. It's a gift from God. And it's a gift for you. And I say you as an individual, but also y'all, as a community of faith, as people together. And I'm going to start in what might seem like a little bit of an odd place to talk about peace. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 3. And if you don't already know the story, I invite you to go back and read Genesis 1 and 2 and the beautiful laying out of God's plan and purpose for the world, the creation of Adam and Eve included. And then in chapter 3, we get the fall. And what did they eat? Yeah, they ate the fruit of that tree. And disaster struck. And as we look at this, I want you to see, this is after Adam and Eve had both tasted of the fruit. And I want you to see what happens. And then I'm gonna show you how this relates to peace. Okay? So we start out in verse 8 of Genesis 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Normally, that was just part of their day. And they would talk with the Lord, and they would fellowship with the Lord. They were together. But this time, what did they do? They hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. And then one of the most telling verses, I think, in the entire Bible that outlines the problem. Verse 9. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you? Where are you?" You know what? That's God's call to every one of you. How many of you, I'm not going to ask for hands, so imagine this. How many of you at some point in your life have wandered away and realized that God was calling to you, "Where are you?" How many of you have a loved one that has wandered away and you've asked that question, "Where are you?" And not just, "Where's your location?" You might know exactly where they are. Did God know exactly where they were? Hello, you're hiding in the trees, in the bushes. Okay. You may know where that loved one was or is, and you're still asking, "Where are you?" What are you asking? Where are you, the child I know? Where are you, that friend that I know? Where are you, heart of my heart? And you may ask that question about yourself. Where am I? How did I get here? And God asked the question of them. And it wasn't because he didn't know. It's because I believe he wanted them to realize what had happened. It's actually kind of a very convicting word. And then Adam replies, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And one of the things that I want you to focus in on when we talk about that peace is a gift, one of the things to understand is that peace or shalom is the opposite of being afraid. It's the opposites. Those are opposites. You know, it's not, the opposite of courage biblically is not necessarily being afraid. But the opposite of peace is being afraid. And when he says, "Because I was naked, so I hid," I want you to keep in mind that in the Hebrew, which this is written, the word "naked" actually has the meaning of "I was vulnerable. My soul is exposed." It wasn't just about not having clothing; it was, I feel vulnerable. And so he said, finally, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid, God, Father, because I was naked. I was vulnerable. Now I am looking around and I'm fearful. And so I hid. How many of you have tried to hide from God? You know, you do something, you're thinking something, you get in a pattern in life, and you try to hide. How effective is that, really? I mean, you know. I think you understand these words. You know, as we look at this gift of peace and shalom, I want want to jump to Isaiah. You know, the Isaiah is simply speaking the truth in Isaiah 9. And this is of course something that we read at Christmas time as we look at the scriptures and we look at the one who would come. But hear these words. Isaiah speaks them, inspired by the Lord. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Does that sound like a king? Absolutely. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of what? Peace. He's going to be the one that brings restoration and healing and completion and wholeness and harmony. And Isaiah goes on, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Okay, so what's interesting is we know that Jesus has come, all right? Come to Bethlehem, there he is, the called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, there he is. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So it's a prophecy of Jesus coming to Bethlehem, going to the cross, being raised from the dead. All of that happens, but then there's a word of the next, beyond, that we haven't yet even experienced. The greatness when he returns and when he makes all things right in this world, there will be a peace with no end. And I will tell you that the Apostle Paul loves this theme. And I just want to share a short little set of verses here from Colossians. It's not on the screen, but Paul says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So he makes peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, how does that peace? You know, we have this gift of peace, but it's from God. But how does it happen? And what Paul says is it happens through what happens on the cross. And as we celebrate communion in just a little while, as we take the bread and we say, this is my body. That's what Jesus says. Take and eat. This is my blood. Take and drink. In fact, in the words of institution, we say, this is the new covenant, the new promise in my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of what? Of your sins. That's how he makes peace through his blood for us. That's how we dare to draw near. Is because we are, and it's so strange, we are cleansed through his blood. All right, so getting to John, the gospel text for today. We're told Jesus is sharing with his disciples of all that is about to happen. And he's preparing them. And he's saying, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, Father's going to send. He's going to remind you of all these things. And then he says this in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. It's a gift. It's a gift for you. And when he says you, it's y'all. But it's also you as an individual. He's saying, I am leaving not just peace. I'm not just going to say, it's not just God's a generic peace that he says, okay, hey, peace. Be tranquil and be reconciled to yourself and be, you know, have all sorts of shalom in your heart. No, what he says is, here, I'm going to give you not a generic peace, but I'm going to give you mine. You think about what he says. When he says, I'm giving you my peace, power of that. And you know, if you're troubled, what you can say is, Lord, give me more peace. Maybe a better prayer instead of giving me more peace is, Lord, send your Holy Spirit that I may experience the peace that is promised me, which is your Son's peace. Your Son's peace. All right? And then he says, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. And if you think about it, the way the world gives anything is it always expects something back. There's always a cost. There's always a price. I give you something, you give something to me. Or I give, you know, I'm going to say that I'm going to give you something and I don't give you anything at all. Or I'll give it to you and I take it right back. Okay? And then he says this after he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Then he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I've talked to so many people that just hate that. Thanks, that's so helpful. It's like saying, don't be depressed. Don't be unhappy. Well, I am. No, I am depressed. I am unhappy. And you know, here, thanks, Jesus. You know, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Thanks for the pep talk. But as you see this, I invite you to take a step back from it for a moment and really look at what Jesus is saying. Because the clear thing in Scripture all throughout is whatever Jesus commands us to do, there's a gift attached. If he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, he says, he's going to give you the means. He's going to give you the gift. And what he's saying is, I'm going to give you my peace so that you don't have to have a troubled heart. Right? And so our prayer can be, Lord, I'm trying to get peace. I'm trying to read the right books. I'm trying to do the right things. I'm trying to take deep breaths. I'm trying to eat right. I'm trying to get some exercise. I'm trying to get myself out of it. All of those things. And what Jesus is saying is, take me. Take me. Take my peace. Take my gifts for yourself. And know, they are for you. Truly. And he says, don't be afraid. That's, you know, when I was talking about that to not be afraid is really, to be afraid is really the opposite of peace. That's what we're talking about right here in this verse. You know, I will give you strength. I will give you my peace. I will provide for you fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those gifts of my Spirit. And then I'm actually going to jump to the very front part of these verses in John 14, John 14, 1 to 3. And Jesus likes to repeat himself to make sure that we're hearing it. And the first time he says this, it brings us this message of don't let your hearts be troubled is right here. Do not, disciples, let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me. The question is, as we see this statement, or really it's a command, it's imperative command. What is about to happen to Jesus? What are the disciples about to witness? And I'll give you a hint. They're heading to Jerusalem even as this conversation's happening. Crucifixion. Do you think they're going to be troubled and afraid? Was Peter afraid in the courtyard? Yes. A teenage girl accused him of being one of the disciples, and he ran away. Actually, he denied that he even knew Jesus. And we might wonder, well, now if Peter can't even do it, what about me? And Jesus simply says, trust me, believe in me. Trust me. Then he goes on and he says this, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Remember, we talked about the promises. Okay? This is a gift, it's from God, and it's for you. And notice the for you here, because we have, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. You got a place forever. This is your forever home. You know, I don't know when this happened in real estate, but not, you know, they, how they always talk now about your forever home. I don't get that. I mean, I get the pitch, I guess. But I look at that and it actually makes me a little sad. It's like, really, that's your forever home? I mean, it's nice. It's on, you know, by the river, but it's got a nice view. But what Jesus says is, no, I've got your forever home. And so why don't we, when he says, don't be afraid, what he's saying is, don't be afraid because this is not the end. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever turmoil you're in, whatever health issues you have, whatever hill you seem to be rolling down faster and faster, it's not the end. It's not the end. And he says, believe in me. Believe in my Father. Believe in me. Trust me. I've got a place for you. And I want it. I built it through my blood for you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going ahead of you, but I prepared a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and here again, great news. Great news. I will come back and take you to be with me. All right? So, here we go. Life is over. We're heading to the grave. And what does Jesus say? Oh, we were talking about that before. Grab your fork. Dessert's coming. Actually, the main course, the best part, is coming. He says, I will take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. Now, here's the beauty of what Jesus does here. He's pushing them to say, look, you're going to see me on the cross, but that is not the end. And it's not the end for you. And it caused those disciples, as they faced their own death, many of them, in fact, most of them were killed, murdered for their faith. But they were able to march forward knowing that they had that place prepared for them. And the beauty of what Jesus says is, now, it's not just about the future. I am going to come back and take you to be with me, and we'll be together. Let's jump to Matthew 28. We have a couple of these promises here. And the very last verses of Matthew 28, of the entire Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells them, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what he's saying is, I'm with you right now. He's looking at you right now. Why don't you have, you know, when I say don't fear, I'm not just saying, this is not just a word of advice. He's saying, don't fear because I am with you. I've got you by the hand, Isaiah 41:10. I've got, you know, I have you in my victorious right hand. That's what God says. I've got you. I am with you now. And I'll be with you through it, through the dark valleys, through the beautiful green pastures, no matter where you are, to the very end of the age. And we're going to close with this passage from Philippians chapter 4. And Paul says this, don't be anxious about anything. Again, thanks, Paul, great advice. But listen to what he says. Listen to the gift. Remember, if there's a command or something like, Don't take it as advice. Take it as promise. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what's the result of that? Verse 7. We'll close with this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, It transcends all understanding. Remember Jesus said, I don't give as the world gives? The world, every time the world gives something, you got to make sense of it. You got to wonder about it. And Jesus says, my peace is so far above and beyond that, and so far deeper and more beautiful and life-giving. It transcends your understanding. It will guard your hearts through all of this. And it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. He's with you always. He says, pray, lift up your heart so that you can see. And I believe that one of the things Paul's saying is, pray and make those petitions so that you can, when that happens, we can see what God's up to. And we can see and experience his presence. We can say, oh, Jesus was here. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Jesus was here all along. He never did leave. And just because we're hiding, because we're vulnerable, we're naked, right? Because we're thinking that we can hide from God, and we're thinking we're fearful of that, we can say, oh, when I'm in conversation with God, I see that he's here all along. And that is a great message for you, but it's a great message for your friends. And it's a great way to pray for those loved ones who are hiding. Praying for peace, praying that their eyes would be opened, and that they would come home. May we pray, please. Lord God, we're so grateful that it is your peace, and that your peace transcends all understanding. Indeed, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Hey, as we're going to sing together, and as we do sing, we're going to invite you to share those connection cards and also your offerings for the day.